Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
That was the voice of Brian Brown, creator of the Brown Briefly. Brian started the Briefly and brought his high standards of hosting an intelligent discussion of current events laced with humor and empathy. Brian's central concept was less is more, more or less, and he invariably always offered more. Today, as we wish everyone a happy new year and we begin another year in the life of the Brown Briefly, let me introduce the Brieflies. First and foremost, of course, is our engineer, former airline pilot, treetop landing aficionado, West Texas devotee, and former, yes, it is not an oxymoron, military intelligence officer, Truman O'Brien.
Good morning.
Good to have you here. Truman is guiding us from the Voice of Vachon's Jean Bosch broadcast studio in bustling and bodacious downtown Vachon. Joining Truman is Truman's wingmate, arbitrator, mediator, two-time Fulbright scholar, former constitutional law professor, and Washington State Assistant Attorney General Craig Bellis. How are you, Craig?
Was that me you introduced?
That's what you sent me. I'm only reading what you send me.
Me and Mr. Santos. All right. I'm doing really well. Thank you, Bruce.
Good to have you here. Zooming in from his home, high above the Burton, is the voice of Indivisible Vachon and the Vachon Climate Action Group, who strives to create a livable planet overseen by a government we can all appreciate, or at least tolerate, Kevin Jones. Welcome, Kevin.
Hey, welcome this morning. And speaking to Mr. Santos, just note to self, if you're on the lam, don't run for Congress.
Yeah. Or maybe do, right? Yeah. We'll see, right?
I could tell at least if you're president, you know, you get immunity.
I could tell you a story about a client I represented who did just that, escaped from King County, and then became very, very prominent. Not a good career move.
Lots of stories out there, right? And I'm Bruce Hallman. I'm zooming in from the bluffs above KVI Beach this morning. And also joining us today are Kim Farrell, Jean Echevarria, and Brian Fisher, three of the moving forces behind the new Swiftwater Gallery. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
Before we jump into talking about the Swiftwater Gallery, let's take a moment and check in with everyone about their New Year's resolutions and special things you experienced this past week. Craig, let's start with you.
Well, it was interesting. I was invited to, my wife and I were invited to a New Year's Eve party over to a friend's house. And the theme of the New Year's Eve, aside from New Year's Eve, was a costume. And the costume was basically clothes from the 70s and 80s. And my wife and I looked at each other and we said, we're set. We're wearing our clothes from the 70s and 80s. But it was all a yacht rock party. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that particular genre, but that's what the party was. And I just found it fascinating. Sort of headlined by the person who gave the party, who was dressed up like Hugh Hefner.
Ascot and all.
Yep, exactly. And pajamas, silk pajamas, the whole nine yards. So that was probably the highlight of my last week.
Ah, fantastic. Kim, how about you?
Well, I'm not big on resolutions, but other than wishing everyone an incredibly healthy, happy, artful, and active New Year on this gorgeous island we live on. In terms of something exciting, we had our artists bring in their work for our fundraiser this Friday evening from 5 to 8. And that was that was stunning. It's the amount of talent and beauty we have is huge, and the energy was very, very exciting.
Oh, fantastic. That must be exciting. So we'll talk more about the fundraiser and the opening coming up in February a little bit later. So thanks, Kim. Kevin, how about you? What have you been up to?
Well, you asked about resolutions, and I'll just say less is more. but other highlights of the week, you know, we're now emerged from the big freeze, and we have a lot of bird feeders at our place. And of course, during that time, the birds have significant challenges, right, to weather the cold weather and find food. And I was just happy to say that the hummingbird or two that we had seen before the freeze, we have now seen after the freeze. And so the beautiful ruby-necked, green-backed hummingbirds that are at our feeder, it's a pleasure to see.
Great. Good. Truman.
Well, my big news is I won the Mega Millions lottery.
I bought. And you're still here.
That's always a good thing.
No, I bought. I spent $6, got 3 tickets, and won $2. So there you go. I mean, hey, man, it's the first time. I was pretty proud of that. The truth. And And speaking of birds, I have a camera set up on my driveway, and I occasionally pick up all coyotes and raccoons, and of course lots of deer. In fact, I got a coyote following a raccoon the other night, which was pretty cool. And they go off camera, and you hear a growl, and all of a sudden the coyote comes flipping back and into the camera, and then back out again, back after him. So I didn't find any fur in the morning, so I'm not sure what happened there. But anyway, we got a new camera, and we set it up. We have some ravens that live on our property, and we occasionally throw out a scrap or two for them. And when we do, you get to watch them pick up the scraps, and it's always pretty fun. They're so weird in their little hops when they look at the food. Anyway, that's fun. That was it.
Sounds good, Truman. Gene, how about you?
Well, I can talk about birds too. I'm working on a new woodcut print called Know Your Owls.
Oh,
it has three different kinds of owls in it, and I've been having a lot of fun with it.
Cool.
And Gene, how do you pronounce your last name?
Echeverria.
Echeverria.
Echeverria. Great. Thanks.
Thanks
for that. Yep. Great. Will you have those in the February show?
I will have them in February. I will.
Good. Oh, fantastic. Something to look forward to.
Ready to go.
Okay. Yeah. So Brian Fisher, let me just give you a little background. Brian did the set of window screens for the In and Out exhibit at the Vashon Heritage Museum called Let's Dance, and sort of all those music themes that were popular in the 70s, 80s, into the 90s as the LGBTQ plus movement sort of emerged in the United States. And Brian, they were spectacular.
Oh, thank you very much.
So what have you been up to?
A lot of making of art and framing of art. And today I'm kind of, it feels like I'm at almost a new year. Well, that's appropriate, I guess. So I do like New Year's resolutions, but this one is to complete what I have not completed from last year. So I have so many prints in process. But that's a good thing. So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, it's good to have you here. While we're talking about birds, I had the pleasure yesterday of every year since 96. So for 25 years, almost, I've been doing the Christmas bird count, you know, Audubon Christmas bird count on my boat, Vashana. So we do Quartermaster Harbor, do the water birds in Quartermaster Harbor. And yesterday was the best day ever. There was no wind. It was like a mirror, so you could see birds everywhere. And it was cool, but it was not freezing cold. And so it was just a great day out on the water. And we got a tremendously good count this year. So birds are important to us all, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
So moving along, today is a significant day, like every day. But for all of you Lord of the Rings fans and Hobbit fans and Silmarillion fans and the Fall of Numenor fans, today is J.R.R. Tolkien's birthday. Yeah. He was born in 1892. Mm-hmm. It's also National Chocolate-Covered Cherry Day.
Oh.
That candy that we all loved as kids and sort of like, as adults, right?
Way, way sweet, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah,
I still think they're good.
I do too, actually. But.
I love them.
It's also National Right to Congress Day, appropriate as Congress is sort of struggling over who's going to be the new speaker. So get out there and write your letters, right? And it's also Women Rock Day, celebration of women in rock and roll. So interesting days today. And it's also the day, January 3rd in 1868, of the Meiji Restoration, which ended the shogunates in Japan. And in 1959, Alaska became the 49th state, and in 1977, Apple was incorporated. So January 3rd, interesting. Yeah, Truman.
I have something to say about the Alaska. I lived in Texas at the time, and I was moving to Montana, and we were really had our noses out of joint because we weren't the biggest state anymore when Alaska was there. I remember that distinctly. So,
I have one quick comment on Apple. Aside from the fact that they fell below $2 trillion cap today, this little iPhone that I'm holding up for our fellow Zoom members, I just, do you know when this phone was patented by Apple?
No.
It seems like we've lived with this or something like it for ages. 2010.
Whoa.
Wow, that's hard.
Wow.
That is hard to believe.
Yeah. Wow. A decade is a lifetime these days,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no kidding.
Wow, that is interesting. Well, let's switch to our small talk about the Swiftwater Gallery. And it's a joy to welcome the new Swiftwater Gallery's director, Kim Farrell, and gallery members, Jean Echeverria.
Echeverria,
right. And Brian Fisher, thank you. You are all part of the dynamic team behind forming the gallery. So take a minute and tell us about yourselves, what you do as an artist, and what inspired you to become part of the creation of the Swiftwater Gallery. Kim, let's start with you.
Well, first of all, I'm the gallery manager, we have an amazing team, more than our sitting here that should be recognized because it truly was a group effort. Penny Grist is our president and was one of the founding people and leaders behind all of this. I became involved because I felt so sad that Gather was closing and that there wasn't a place in town to showcase our artists on the island. I believe that the arts are part of the heart and soul of this community. It's also a part of what drew me and my husband to Vashon. And I just felt like, oh, something needs to happen here. And I talked with Kathy Raines and Whitney Rose, her daughter, that ran Gather, and said, you know, what's needed to make this work? And they gave me some feedback and put me in touch with Penny Grist. And so I became involved that way. And because we're not infinitely wealthy, I thought, right now, since I'm retired, I do have the wealth of time. And so I've volunteered to manage the gallery for a year without pay to help get it off the ground.
Wow.
Great. And tell us a little bit about your own art.
I'm a photographer, and basically I photograph anything that that strikes my fancy. I've done some portraits, I've done landscapes, I've done macro. Pretty much all of it is with natural light, and I just hope to communicate a sense of peace and comfort with the photographs I take.
And they are lovely, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Really, truly. My daughter is a photographer as well.
I mean, great.
She's a professional as well. And I always enjoy seeing other people's work to compare. And boy, yours is right up there. It's fantastic.
Oh, so you're really kind. There. Thank you.
And you'll have pieces in this opening on Friday and then in the gallery on a regular basis?
Yes. We each have one piece for this Friday. Because it's sort of a bare bones, as I said earlier, fundraiser. So we asked each artist to bring in a single piece and to give people a taste of what's to come.
So, and that's what time on Friday?
5 to 8 p.m. this first Friday of January.
And it's located where?
We're at 17600 Vashon Highway South, but more easily right next to Bloom's. Mm-hmm. They're on the Urban Bloom, right in the center of town, across from the hardware store restaurant.
Perfect.
Great. Good. Thank you. Gene, tell us a bit about yourself and your art and what got you involved in the Swiftwater Gallery.
Well, I do printmaking. My husband, Alex, and I have Wabi Sabi Studios right off of Beale Road on McLean Road. And I have been involved with the arts pretty much from the minute I arrived on Vashon about 10 years ago. And I've heard the artists talking for years about really needing a cooperative gallery. I heard it, and I heard it, and I heard it, and we never knew where we would find a space to do that or how we would put that together. But the minute the opportunity arose, I got a phone call from Penny Grist, and she said, "Gene." I said, "Yes, Penny." She said, "Do you want to be part of a cooperative gallery on Vashon?" And I said, "Yes, Penny." And she said, "Would you come to a meeting at my house on Thursday?" I think it was Monday, actually. And I said, "Yes, Penny." Because that's what you say when Penny Grist calls you. She's a very practical and brilliant woman, and I love her dearly, and I would do anything she asked me to. When I moved to Vashon, she looked at my garden and said, "Gene, you need straight rows." And I did that. So that's why I'm part of all of this, and it's been a joy. It's been so much fun. My favorite people.
Oh, great. Good. Brian, how about you? Tell us about yourself, your art, and what got you engaged.
Well, much like Gene, Penny called me and said, "This is going to happen." And so it has. We didn't know how it was going to happen or when it was going to happen, but she wanted to make it so as soon as possible. So that's how I got involved to begin with. And I will speak briefly about, I've been on the island since 89, and there's always been a vibrant community of artists here, unbeknownst to me. I did not really know that when I moved here. It was kind of in between Tacoma and Seattle, and it was, you know, fit my picture of what I thought the Northwest would be like, having moved from Texas to Seattle. It was way too dense, so this was perfect. And then the really upside was this whole community of artists, Penny among them, that I soon met and who have always been encouraging and provided space and place and shared their own knowledge about what art could be. We're always generous. So I'm, you know, that's why I'm involved, to pass that along, because we do have an incredible, I mean, unbeknownst to maybe the world, this is like a really, really unique place for art. So I'm happy to be part of the new gallery.
I totally disagree about. I think, you know, I have heard many times that we are a population of about 11,000, and 50,000 of them are musicians, and the rest are artists. So there you go. You know.
And there's a few of us who buy their goods.
Yeah, we do indeed. Yeah, so.
Right. Yeah. Brian, tell us a little bit about your art. What do you do?
I also am primarily a printmaker, although that's kind of my source for other media. I paint and I do make sculpture too, and some combination of all of those things. But I would describe myself as a printmaker. I find imagery in that process, and my imagery is mostly informed by myth, generally Western myth, but also personal story. So there's, you know, this dialogue that comes to fruition, hopefully, when I am in that process. And so right now I'm in addition to the Swiftwater opening, I'm in an exhibit at VCA this month. So I will be spending my Friday down there with people, but thinking also of Swiftwater.
I have to ask, where in Texas?
Dallas.
Ah, okay. I'm originally from West Texas, so that's why I was wondering.
Yeah. He's from Wink.
Yeah, Wink, just south of Wink, actually. Seriously. It's where Roy Orbison's from, you know, it's Wink, Texas. I grew up about 23 miles south of there, so there you go. Well.
Fantastic. Thank you, Brian. Well, tell us a little bit about, each one of you, take some time and tell us a little bit about the Swiftwater Gallery. Does Vashon need another gallery? Why Swiftwater Gallery? And what does it do for the island community and for you as an artist?
Anyone?
Oh, okay. Everybody's looking at me, so I guess I'll say something. I think the cooperative model is fabulous because it supports the art community in a different way. I think that it allows artists to be represented a little more and for us to be paid better. And it also, we're invested because we're giving our time and money to keep it all together. And so it makes it a very personal experience for the artist and also for the visitors to the gallery. I think you get a really good representative view of Vashon and the arts on Vashon when you go into our space, because we have 51 members. That's a pretty good group of people representing what we have to offer here. But it's also different than the other galleries on the island, and so it kind of fills in a place that was we all wanted it to happen, I think.
Sure. Tell me a little bit about how the cooperative model works.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
So each individual member pays dues, monthly dues, and that's to help defray the rent and expenses. And then they can choose to either be a working or a non-working member, and that affects their commission, meaning the amount of money they get from selling their art. So if you're a working member, you get more money back than a non-working member. And that way, everyone's contributing to keeping the gallery alive and vibrant and has the contributory model.
You didn't invent this model, did you? did that model come from other galleries that you were aware of, or did you basically kind of figure out what you thought was fair?
We definitely made it our own. We looked at a lot of different gallery models, and then we figured out what would work for us, because, you know, on Vashon, we're special.
We did get quite a bit of help from the Port Townsend Gallery. They shared their information with us, which was huge. It really helped us get off the ground quickly.
So the question that comes to mind, and maybe this is one for you, Kim, you have a variety of artists with a variety of styles, and how do you figure out what you're going to be showing for a particular, and is there a particular amount of time that your art is there, and how do you organize that? I mean, I find that just mind-boggling myself.
Terrifying, actually.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, we have been meeting on a weekly basis since the middle of August to figure all of this out, and have really vetted it through our group. But people, our members are showing all the time. We've asked them to make sure things are not staying in the gallery more than 4 months if they haven't sold, so we can keep it fresh. We have monthly themes that will be coming up that people can gear their work towards, although they don't have to. We're honestly still kind of working out how much space and how many pieces each artist gets. So that was another reason for this trial run, to get a good sense of, okay, how much space is there really, and what can we access?
Yeah, you know, I, as I mentioned, my daughter is a photographer, and I've hung a number of her shows. And I'm telling you, that the figuring out where everything goes is just mind-boggling. I mean, you guys have a... Yeah,
well,
Jean?
Everyone's pointing at me again. I have I'm part of a team of three. It's myself and Lynn Ann Raven and Kristen Wrights Green. We've hung shows for Viva several times, and we just work together like a dream, and we don't even have to speak practically. We just get in there, and I call us the white tornado. We just get in there, and we get it hung, and we know what we're doing. And so it's bliss. It's like a dance.
Yeah.
Basically, they hung Friday's show in 2 to 2.5 hours.
Wow.
And it is stunning.
Yeah, I want to. I was going to come up and check in at some point while they were working away, and I gave or texted Jean and didn't hear back from her immediately. So I thought I'll just go up and see how it's going, and it was gorgeous. It was done. They weren't even there anymore.
Good timing.
Yeah, but yeah.
I was going to say, you know, you might be careful about just showing up. You know, I mean.
No, he's welcome anytime.
Okay, yeah. Good.
So Brian, had you been involved with a cooperative gallery before, or anything quite like this?
No, I've never been involved with a co-op. Although I've, you know, visited many and wondered really how that might work. And certainly at the beginning of this, all these questions that you were asking were coming up. And this is a work in process, our project. Process. We're finding the answers as we go forward. Even the number of artists that will be represented eventually is not to be determined, because we don't really know what the space will allow until, as you found out yesterday.
Yep.
One piece is definitely not enough. And
right.
We are thinking three for these initial members, but I think there might be maybe four or more. So But to answer your question, I have not been involved in a co-op before. I have many commercial galleries, but not a co-op.
Interesting, yeah. So is it going to be limited to 50 members? Is it going to expand, contract, or is that part of the in progress? You figure it out as you go along.
To be determined.
To be determined.
Yeah.
I don't doubt, as you become a rave success, that there will be other artists to go, I want to be a part of this, and you're going to have to address how that works.
Well, we have thought about that. So at least quarterly, we'll look at what we can accommodate, and then jury in folks that or artists that are interested. It may be that we need more 3D art, so things like sculpture, jewelry, that sort of thing, than 2D art that takes up wall space. So we may have to make decisions based on that.
That brings up the question, who determines what gets hung? I mean, is it, do people just bring their art in and you don't have any, you said juried a minute ago, and I was just wondering if you jury the work that comes in, or does it just...
We had a jury for the people that were not already on Gather's list or that applied early on. And so initially, it was pretty much if you applied and people knew the quality of work or were familiar with that artist, then those were the people that were added as they came in. And then when we reached the point where we started having to answer how much can this space hold, we did create a jury and look at the several artists that applied after that fact and then made decisions as a group.
So rather than jurying the individual pieces, you juried the artists themselves, basically.
The work that they applied with, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Craig.
Do you have a group of managers, or are we looking at them talking? I mean, there are administrative decisions that have to be made all the time.
So we've had a committee of about 8 to 10 people that have been meeting regularly. I do want to acknowledge them as well because they have been such an integral part of all of this. And everyone has committed a ton of time, energy, and work towards this. It is not by any means any single person. So our vice president is Harmony Kellogg, who's a relative newcomer to the island. The secretary and treasurer of our board and powerhouse and energizer bunny is April Delinas. I hope I'm saying
that's
your
correct.
Name correctly. Others involved have been Alice Larson, Lynn-Ann Raven, Janice Malman,
Valerie Wilson.
Penny, of course.
Penny Grist, of course, who just was in the, this will happen. This will happen. I mean, she really was in her very succinct, positive manner. And people just did a ton of work. If you wanted something done, you just knew it would get done.
You have a group that brings incredible cred to the gallery.
I was just thinking that. My gosh, this is amazing. Wow.
Yeah, interesting. When I was interviewing Penny about the formation of the gallery, she was very excited about sort of, because she was part of the original VAA, you know, when it formed in the 70s and into the 80s. And she really saw this as a kind of a reflection of going back to that old VAA model of sort of growing out of the artist community. And my question to you is, were you guys involved with VAA when you first came to the island? And do you see it in the same way that Penny does?
Yes, I do. I'm one of the things that, well, I remember when former Gather Space, former
Heron's Nest,
was Jane Quigg, who has just passed away, a lovely woman and artist on the island, had her rug shop there when I first remember that space, or first remember going into the space. And then when Vachon Allied Arts, or Blue Heron at that point, became the Heron's Nest down here, when they moved out of the building up there because they were sharing office space with cards and small works of art, which was actually Penny managed that at that point in time too. So I do think that it is that kind of grassroots response to a need. When VCA closed the shop here, it was almost like a co-op because everyone's on the island pretty much was, if you walked in the door with something that was interesting, you pretty much had a place in the gallery. And it was, it reflected well on how people perceived art and how people who are making art were received into a community that would, you know, respect what they were doing too. So I hope that's much of what we bring to this new endeavor.
Oh, good. Gene, how about you?
Let me just ask a quick question. Yeah. Speaking of space, are you going to use the hallway as well? Is that separate?
We are.
You are going to use the hallway.
We are.
Okay,
yep.
Sorry.
Half of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So when I first moved to Vashon, I wanted to be part of the art community right away, and I became a volunteer at the Heron's Nest, and I worked there every week. Absolutely loved it. I met so many people. But one of the things I really enjoyed about that was people would come into the gallery when I was working, and they would stand in front of somebody's piece and start to admire it, and I could walk over and say, Do you like that piece? I know the artist. They're a friend of mine. And I could talk about that person. I knew what they did, and I learned what they did. And it made a very personal situation in terms of sales and community. I've also been, and still am, a volunteer at the VCA, the Center for the Arts. And I just really believe in art and community and how those two things come together. And that's what a cooperative is all about. So I think it's just a natural progression.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Do you see competition between the two at all?
I don't. I think we're doing something very different, and I think we're going to all enhance each other's place.
Mm-hmm. That's what they say about restaurants. You know, four restaurants on the corner, all of them do better.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. A friend of mine used to own a furniture store. And I can't think of the name of the big discount furniture store that's, you know, everywhere. But one of those moved in across the street from him. And people said, oh, my gosh, aren't you, you know, terribly worried about that? He said, are you kidding? My business doubled after they came in. So, art generates, business generates business. So I think it's going to be good for you guys.
And this business will be good for the core of the restaurant, every other business that's downtown.
Exactly. You know.
Yeah. Well, and it'll be good for the arts in general, because we can say, like what you see here, there's another gallery down the street.
Exactly.
There's Vashon Center for the Arts. We can.
There's definitely synergy there, isn't
yes.
there?
Yes.
Yeah. So, Kim, what was your experience with VAA and working with the Heron's Nest?
So my first experience with VAA was actually when I came to interview for a job here. I saw a show at VAA, a musical performance, and was just so impressed with the excitement and the audience and everything. And then I took some classes at VAA, and I've been involved with a little bit of volunteering. I didn't have a ton of time to do that. I've also shown with VAA and VCA, and have been very involved with music, also through the Center for the Arts. So I really support them and want them to be incredibly successful. I want us all to be successful, because that just makes us all better.
I agree.
Great. So the name Swiftwater, tell us a little bit about the name Swiftwater, how you came up with that, what it represents, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, I'm responsible for the middle of the night, like, what are we going to call this thing? And and I always liked, actually, the blue heron, I thought, because it referenced a local bird that's so wonderfully weird and awkward and fun and Vashon. So I was thinking, what else, you know, what else might there be, actually, that's really about this place? And then it occurred to me that the people who lived here before we did had a name. So that's how Swiftwater came to be. And Gene has, I think, the definition.
Well, the Swabash people were the first people of Vashon, and we wanted to honor them and kind of bless our space with acknowledging their presence here. Of course, Swabash is not the easiest name, especially for a visitor to the island, and so the translation is Swiftwater. And when we all agreed that that was the name that we wanted to have, I consulted the Puyallup tribe to be sure that, that it was okay, that that was not problematic for them, that we would honor them with that name of our gallery. And they agreed. They said, we don't see any problem with that. That's great. And that's where it went.
Fantastic. So do you have a land acknowledgement as part of your gallery, or will you have that posted somewhere in the gallery? Or how is that going to work for him?
Yes, we will, actually, in several places at the gallery. The definition an explanation, basically, that briefly honors the first people. And actually, I think that the name translates as people of the first water, or swift water. But yes, we will have explanations at the door and the window, at both doors and the window, and as part of most of what we explained about the gallery.
Yeah, Craig.
That's a great name. And it's wonderful that you did consult. So there was not really, you know, an appropriation. But you do have to be careful about what you name.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Truman and I, as you may know, had a little issue. We years ago, we named our LLC Treetop Flyers, and then proceeded to crash our airplane into the tops of trees. So, you know, it's a good thing you didn't name it Artists Who Trip and Fall.
Exactly.
I think you did a good job.
Broken glass.
That's broken right. glass. There you go. Yeah. No, that is a great name, by the way. I don't know, it evokes, I don't know, some emotion or, I don't know. It really is a great name. That's all I can say. I love it.
Well, it looks back and it feels forward.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, great. So, Kim, again, tell us about this weekend and about February. What can we look for in the Swiftwater Gallery in the next month or two?
Oh, there's lots to look forward to. So again, this Friday, 5 to 8 p.m., we're having a bare bones fundraiser and art sampling from pretty much everyone of our members. And then we're just going to be open those 3 hours Friday evening. And because our lease just started 5 days ago, it was all we could get together. And then on first Friday in February, February 3rd, we will start our regular hours, which will be 11 to 5 Wednesdays through Sundays. And we will have the gallery fully decked out. For this Friday, we're only using the very front space of the gallery, but we have a back space as well, which will also be a space for classes and lectures and whatever else we decide to hold there.
So that brings up a question. So you're going to be open from 11 to 5. You're obviously going to have someone working there to manage, you know, the sales and all of that. Will that be a paid position? And are you going to hire clerks to do that? Or will the artists themselves participate in that?
That's where our working members come into play. So either myself or Marla Smith, who is kindly volunteered to also be my assistant, will be there every day. And then we'll have a member there every day as well. So there should always be two people working, and one who's more familiar with things, and No, none of us are paid.
Oh, well, so, but of course you're going to have a point of sale computer and all of those things. Is that,
yes.
Does that equipment that you've all chipped in to buy, or does that come out of your dues? Or, you know, I'm just curious how that works.
Well, we had a joining fee for each member, so some of it's come out of that. And then because Friday night is also a fundraising event, we're hoping we can help get donations to defray a bunch of our startup costs.
Okay. Yeah, good.
Oh, great. Yeah, Kevin.
And I just, Kim, Gene, and Brian, it's a pleasure to have the chance to talk. You know, when I walk by the space of now Swiftwater, formerly Gather, I think of that back room that you described as a community meeting space, which, of course, Gather had offered. And literally thousands of postcards have been written from that space regarding issues of the day. You know, regarding our politics and so on. So we've often talked about whether or not Gather might reopen after COVID for that opportunity to, you know, reconvene. It sounds like you're thinking along those lines, and we may very well be in touch.
Great.
We are thinking along those lines.
Cool.
Great. Thank you.
Good. So anything else you guys want to add about Swiftwater at this point?
I'm just very excited that we've come to this point. It seemed like a long time, but such a short time to get this far. So it's wonderful to have to be able to walk across the street, look in the window, and see it's already happening.
In less than 4 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, Craig.
Yeah, I just have to congratulate you on this. That space just cries out for something just like you've come up with. I had the honor of being the president of the board at VAA when Blue Heron opened, the Heron's Nest opened, and I've always thought that's an island treasure spot for art. So thank you very much for what you've done.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and you step into a long tradition. I mean, in the late 40s, the Vashon Artist League was formed, you know, for artists who wanted the place to show their art, and they basically began to show at festivals and things like that. And then VAA itself, you know, formed in the 1960s, basically a group of artists, you know, wanting to be able to work together and to support one another and to be able to display their art. And then as VAA grew and the Blue Heron itself, and then the Heron's Nest Gallery, I mean, this is a return to that, I think, in a very, very positive way. And so I'm just excited to see it happen as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I want you guys to stick on with us if you're willing. We're going to talk a little bit about national, international, political kind of things. So please feel free to join in. But again, Kim, if you'll remind our listeners about this Friday and first Friday in February and the address.
Please come join and celebrate with us this Friday from 5 to 8 p.m. at Swiftwater Gallery, just across the street from the hardware store restaurant and next to Urban Bloom. And then we will officially be open on first Friday in February, February 3rd, with our normal business hours starting at 11 a.m. And then I'm sure we'll have a special celebration in the evening during Art Walk. Same location.
Great.
We'll thank love you. To see you there.
Good. Thank you. Very excited thank about you. That. So let's shift a little bit into national politics. Kevin, maybe you can update us a little bit about what's going on in the House of Representatives.
Oh, I haven't looked in the last hour, but you know, they started their session at 9 o'clock local time. So this is the next Congress in session, and the House of Representatives in particular is now shifting majorities from Democrats to Republicans. And the only way the House can actually accomplish things is with a speaker. So election of a speaker is the first order of business. And if we're watching the news, we all know that Kevin McCarthy is aiming to be that person. But a historic, not a first, but it's been over 100 years, I understand, since the House has failed to elect a speaker on the first round of votes. And it happened again today. So the last I checked, the House was still in session because they didn't have enough votes to adjourn. So yeah, who knows what might happen today? But Bruce, maybe you can probably help put this into historical perspective, because I understand the past has been like weeks, if not months, it took the House to elect a speaker.
Yeah, it has in the past. I mean, again, in the 20th century and early 21st century, we haven't seen that kind of conflict. But yeah, it's certainly, you know, when parties are divided, you know, when the country has strong sort of divisions in it, it's hard sometimes to get that majority in a clear way. And that's what you're seeing, you know, sort of 20 very extreme right-wing Republican congresspeople who want to, you know, sort of shape, you know, whether McCarthy will be speaker or not. And of course, in a position of power, you know, holding those 20 deciding votes, they can force McCarthy to make concessions, additional concessions. He's already made a lot as it is. Craig, you might want to jump in there. You're a mediator. You know how that works.
No. You beat me to it. I was just going to ask you two because I was afraid you were going to ask me. But that's the thing I didn't get an opportunity to do a little bit of research on. I was curious to hear that Matt Gaetz, who is one of the dissenters to McCarthy's speakership, that he said that he'd see Hakeem Jeffries before he'd see McCarthy, and so the question I have, I'm going to divert, is what does that mean if Jeffries became the Speaker of the House? How would that affect the business of the House of Representatives?
Well, I don't think the Speaker has a lot of power in controlling the agenda of the House and what comes up and when things come up. The Speaker of the House does not have to be a member of the House. Right. So, you know, they could reach out to other kind of people. And that's the potential solution here, is if enough moderate Democrats and enough moderate Republicans get together and decide we don't want an extreme right wing or an extreme left wing Speaker. You know, if enough come together, all you need is, you know, 50% plus one, and you've got a new speaker. Yeah, Kevin.
And that would be a very interesting dynamic because, of course, the Republicans would still hold a majority. Right. So the committees would still have a majority of Republicans. I assume I don't know for sure, right. But I assume the committees would have Republicans would be leading those committees with, you know, the minority member, you know, of being a Democrat. But the notion that the House might elect Jeffries would be a significant step towards moderation, I would think. And in particularly, I believe the Speaker, depending on the rules that they pass along with the gavel, right. You know, the Speaker has a tremendous amount of control over what does and does not get introduced onto the floor. Mm-hmm. And so while the Senate right now is a check on some of the more radical, conservative agendas, the Speaker of the House, if it were Jeffries, could also be a check on that same agenda.
Right. Yeah.
So my question is, I understand that the Congress can't be seated until that position is filled. So does that mean that the new congressional members can't be sworn in until that happens?
That's my understanding.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what I understand. Yeah, so it can't. The House cannot officially meet until there's a speaker elected.
And so it's good that they passed the budget measures, you know, before now. So the government will at least continue to function in some form.
Yeah, definitely. I was interested to read about there's a strong dry January movement emerging in the United States, sort of a reflection back to the temperance movement and back to concept of prohibition, not prohibition, but not prohibiting it, but just saying we're going to have a dry month here where alcohol will not be consumed. Have any of you run into that? What do you think about a dry January?
Well, I personally, since I'm trying to lose some weight, I've been trying to go have weekends only, you know, for wine and not having wine during the week. So maybe I'm already there and wasn't aware of it.
I think it's an excellent idea. I've drank my share of wine and bourbon and whatnot, but you see the health experts' pendulum swing back and forth and back and forth on the issue of alcohol. And right now, it seems to be a negative view, primarily an inflationary, inflammatory,
inflationary too.
You know, aggravator. I think it's a good idea, and from a psychological and emotional point of view, alcohol can really make some major differences in people's behavior. Isn't that right, Truman?
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. Funny you should ask. No, I have to tell you, I used to fly into Barrow, which is now another name, which I can't pronounce. But it's very interesting. They went from dry to wet to damp, you know, those three. And basically dry, there was no alcohol, you know, sold or allowed in the community. Wet was, you know, it's wide open. And damp would be you could have your own at home, but you couldn't be sold within the community. And I can tell you that flying in and out of there, when it was dry, it was very nice going in and out. We had, you know, about the same passenger load going in and out. When it was wet, we would haul in pallets and pallets of alcohol, and we would fly out two or three guys in cuffs every time, mm-hmm. every time. So it was really interesting, the dynamic that occurred with the alcohol in that community.
Just briefly, I can say that the dry movement is a good idea. Dry legislation, we found out, is not such a great idea.
Yeah, it does not work.
A little bit of individual choice there. So is the Swiftwater Gallery going to be dry?
Not for this Friday.
Wait, not this January, right?
Fundraiser, are you kidding me?
Come on. Cookies there too, I guess.
Not planning on cookies. Yeah, yeah. And none of the green stuff.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, we're down to our last couple minutes. Kevin, anything to update us on what Indivisible Vashon and other things are doing?
Well, let's see. We are some things that people will want to keep their eyes open. On the January 12th edition of the Beachcomber, there will be a commentary regarding how to sign up for a system called Take Action Network, which allows you to dial into legislative action that you'd like to see in your email inbox. And so you can basically receive email notices when our legislators, Emily Alvarado, Joe Wynn, and Joe Fitzgibbon, have a bill in one of their committees. And you can also choose a topic of interest to you. And basically, an email arrives, you click on that email, and it opens up an action statement, which has the phone number of our legislator. It has a little box you can click to email our legislator, and it actually creates an email right on your laptop. And all you have to do is modify the content and then click send. So watch for that in the Beachcomber. So we're looking forward to legislative action within Indivisible Vashon.
Is that coming from Indivisible Vashon?
That system is created by Daniel Weiss, who's on the board of Fuse Washington.
Okay.
And it's used by the Washington Indivisible Network. So it's the statewide organization of which Indivisible Vashon is a very supportive group, and I myself sit on the steering committee of the WIN team, the Washington Indivisible Network. Yeah, so when you look for those environment and climate-related actions, those are coming from the team that I will be leading again for the fourth year. So hope people will have a chance to sign in.
Cool.
Great. Thanks, Kevin. We're just about out of time, so let me just inform you that next week we'll have Joseph Bogard from the Save Our Wild Salmon Coalition will be our guest on the Brown Briefly. And let me just thank Kim and Jean and Brian and all the folks involved with this new Swiftwater Gallery. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for sharing with us. And, you know, Truman, Kevin, Craig, I'm Bruce Hallman. Thank you. See you again next week on the Brown Briefly.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.